Hi, good Vach and good Chodesh. That's right. We are now approaching Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and we are up to a double Parsha. That's right, Parshat Tazria Metzora. And there's a lot to say, absolutely. I just wanted to mention tonight's learning is in memory of Izzy Chait, Ilui Nishmat Yisrael, Meir Ben Yochanan Ola Shalom. So there is a lot to do. I'll try and keep this to close to 10 minutes. This is one that I've written about a few years ago. This week's two parshiot deal with the Metzora, which is one who was stricken with Tzara'as, which are various leprous-like ailments. Obviously, it's a spiritual disease, but manifested in physical form, often as a result of evil speech or slander, different types of Lashon Hara. But Tzara'as itself is often actually referred to as a nega in the text, Nun Gimel Ayin, which in addition to meaning an affliction, can also actually mean to touch or come in contact with. Now, the two meanings of touch and afflict are obviously related, but have very distinct connotations. Now, it's interesting to note, though, when the Torah has nearly two parshiot worth of psukim regarding the issues of the Metzora, the Torah never uses the term nogeya, which is interesting, meaning to touch, despite the Metzora not being allowed to actually touch or be touched by anyone, since he transmits a very high level of tumah, ritual impurity. Now, the root nega is used extremely heavily through, in almost every instance, of Tzara'as in almost every case of Metzora, yet it is only meant to specifically refer to the affliction of the Tzara'as with no other meaning, such as touching. Now, in contrast, in numerous other places in the Torah, the root of Nega is, in fact, used for touch. For example, when Yitzchak goes to Abimelech, as well as similarly by Abraham, the Pasuk states, Vayitzav Abimelech et kol ha'am le'mor ha'nogeya ve'ish hazeh u've'ish tov mutyumat. And Abimelech commanded his nation, saying, anyone who touches Nogeya, this man and his wife shall surely die. A similar, although more ambiguous language is used when Avraham goes to see him, which is a topic for another time why it's a little bit different. But earlier when Avraham went to see Paro, in a similar episode occurred when Sarah was abducted, the Torah uses another form of nega, namely afflicting, as the Pasuk states, Vayinega Hashem et Paro negaim gedolim, and Hashem afflicted Paro with great affliction. Okay? Not the end of this puzzle right now. Keep going. Interestingly, by Yaakov, both meanings are seemingly used simultaneously, both the root of touching and the root of affliction, for he is struck by Esau's angel. The Torah writes there, Ki naga v'kaf yerech Yaakov v'gid hanasha, for Yaakov was naga in the palm of his thigh in his gid hanasha. Now, in this case, it actually means both. It means that Yaakov was actually harmed or afflicted, but that he was also physically touched or struck by the angel. There are many explanations as to what that means and how it was done and why it happened. That's beyond the scope right now. But this begs the question, what is the difference between the roots for afflicting with a strike, which would be hakeh, in the form of makah, versus the root of nega, right? So there's obviously two different ways in which somebody can be stricken with something, right? So we see by the makos, actually, these two terms are used almost seemingly interchangeably, that they're referred to as both a nega and a makah. We're not going to fully get into it, but partially to address this and the previous question, there's a very crucial Rabbeinu Bachaye. Rabbeinu Bachaye, in his commentary in the Torah, explains that the makkah of the Tzara'as is not a complete Tzara'as. What does that mean? The term makkah refers to the actual blotches or eruptions on the skin, but when they first appear, the person is not yet a Metzora. The Kohen has to first examine him and only declare him Tame, ritually impure, and to be a Metzora. And only then is he fully a Metzora and one who is Negeya, afflicted. So he can be stricken with skin ailments and still not necessarily be a Tzara'as, or the Kohen may not declare him a Metzora, but he can still be stricken with some Tzara'as ailments without being truly a Metzora, or as of yet, not a Metzora. But once he is, then he's a Negea, he's afflicted. Additionally, Chazal teach that if a person was stricken with Tzara'as, it's meant to be an impetus to change. He's done something wrong, or perhaps many things wrong, and has to do Teshuvah. And part of that teshuva is isolating and quarantining himself and hopefully feel remorseful for afflicting other people through careless or evil speech. One can therefore posit that the term makkah perhaps is reserved for striking or afflicting done out of retribution, like by Paro, or when done, such as with anger, to accomplish something immediately, such as Moshe hitting the rock, right? Hakeh, right? Use the word there. It's a necessary action, but not necessarily to drive change. When Paro was first afflicted, he was afflicted with a nega, because he could and would change course of action by releasing Sarah, whom he abducted. However, when Paro and Yetziat Mitzrayim was afflicted, it was too late. He wasn't going to change, and it was just meant as retribution at that point. The Torah uses the term makkah, for Hashem knew Paro would harden his heart in addition to the necessary retribution upon him, and had he punished measure for measure for all of his wicked deeds. Interestingly, by makkah pechoro, death of the firstborn, it's one of several times that the Torah does use the term nega, as the Torah writes, Od nega echad avi el Paro, one more nega I shall bring upon Paro. For now, Paro would actually change, not really because he wanted to, but because Hashem kind of forced his hand, it changed in the fact that he would allow, for the first time ever, to allow the Jewish people to leave Mitzrayim. So now this can perhaps explain why the root of nega, meaning to touch, is not used by a Mitzorah. The Mitzorah, yes, was wicked, but he is not being afflicted solely for the sake of punishment, but rather to force him to realize what he did and to change and become a better person and hopefully find a way to amend his ways and maybe to some extent undo what he did. So teach him a lesson. He was not merely touched. It was not a light touching. He was stricken, but he was stricken with a purpose. And if one realizes the severity of tzaras, one would not even think to touch him, for that would actually, not just because he's tame, but it would reduce the necessary suffering he needs in order to have his atonement and hopefully change and be healed. Now, as part of the offering of the Mitzorah, one has to bring, after he's been cured, two pairs of doves. These doves must be brought regardless of whether the Mitzorah is rich or poor, right? Unlike other offerings, which can vary, large animals, doves, flour, no matter what, a Mitzorah always has to bring two doves. They are a symbol that he has changed. Now, the two types of doves are regular doves and turtle doves. In Hebrew, these are Torim and Bnei Yonah, and there's a lot to talk about why these two specific types are the only two birds that can be brought as korbanos and what the relationship is between them. But one thing is that the numerical value of Torim, Tav Resh Yud Mem, which means turtle doves, is 650, which when doubled, since he takes two of them, is 1300. The numerical value of Bnei Yonah, and again, he could take two Torim or two Bnei Yonah. Numerical value of Bnei Yonah is, which effectively a regular dove is pretty similar to today's pigeons, a little different, is 133, and that when you double it, you take two of them, it's 266. So the concept of being able to take Torah and Rebbe Yonah is you add these two values together, 1300 plus 266, which is 1566. That equals the word Tzaraas Noshenet, which means that Tzaraas has changed from its appearance, or it just means it's changed in general, but in this case, you know, from what it was. But it can also be read as Tzaraas Noshenet, meaning that Tzaraas changed him. It caused him to change. The Tzaraas itself was an agent of change that caused him to realize what he did. The essence and the reason for the Tzaraas affliction has changed, for he is no longer, you know, if he has changed successfully, a man of evil speech and slander, and can therefore now go through the purification ritual, which is primarily in our second Parsha, Parsha Mitzorah, and be purified. I also wanted to mention just in general how important it is to be careful with our words, something which many, many people talk about a couple different times of the year, obviously during, you know, the 9 days in Tisha B'Av, but obviously it's something which is, you know, the Chafetz Chaim explains important to talk about any time, and certainly we have these parshas as a reminder. We're coming from a high of Pesach, and, you know, we might think that we're in a really good place, and unfortunately we might get complacent. You can't spell complacent without place, but I'm not sure if that's relevant. We may have, in our carelessness, you know, when we're really full, when we're drunk, whatever it was, you know, we may have maligned others, or we may have just, whatever, not been thinking clearly, and we may have a need to atone for certain things. So it's something to think about. Now, one last thing is that the numerical root of 1566, which is the combination of both birds taken in double, is also equal to Shabbat Shabbaton Hilachem. A Sabbath of Sabbaths shall be for you, and that refers to the day of Yom Kippur, which is the ultimate day of atonement. If one wants to be cleaned of the sin of Lashon Hara, one must atone. And although a different root is used, when Yom Kippur is referred to a day of affliction, right? It doesn't use the term nega for affliction, it uses the term inoy, but it nevertheless is a day of affliction. Sometimes going through an affliction is tough, but the Torah teaches us that ultimately, many, many times, the affliction is necessary to bring about change and growth, and hopefully when it's all over, we will be better people. I want to thank my colleague and my friend, Isaac Kalki, for helping me with some certain parts of this Torah. Wishing you all good chodesh and Shabbat Shalom.